Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a big show lined up. Aki and Bree are here. How are you two doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
It is, as we are recording this, it is Sunday afternoon. We are fresh off the Xbox Summer Showcase. Last episode, we covered Sony's State of Play. And in the past couple of days, we had Summer Game Fest and, of course, the Xbox conference. And we are going to discuss those right now. What do you think? Hey. Excited?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? I'm not. No. Let's start off with Summer Game Fest. They kicked things off with a creepy as hell trailer. Shocking the world with Resident Evil Veronica, their Code Veronica remake, hitting all platforms next year.
I am very hyped for that. I've loved these Resident Evil remakes. They've been really good so far. And I never played the original of this one, so I'm super excited to get to see how that game plays. It looked really good, though.
Yeah. A Cuphead sequel is in the works, will be hand-animated, and a second team at MDHR is working on Mighty Cuphead Adventure, an NES-style game.
Yeah, that was cute. I think I saw something about it being on a Sega Master System cartridge or something.
Oh, it might be.
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
It looked NES, but I...
Yeah, that's fair.
I couldn't tell for sure. Alien Isolation 2 is going to be coming out for all platforms from 20th Century Games, Sega, and Creative Assembly.
That's going to be awesome. The first one was pretty good.
Indeed. A new game from the producer of The Last Guardian and Shadow of the Colossus, teaming up with Epic Publishing for Gen Atlas. And this one is not going to be limited to PlayStation, will also hit PC and Xbox.
I am so fucking hyped for this.
I figured you would be.
It's Ico, and you get to play you get to pilot a robot and beat up other robots, as well as climb them and destroy them. Fuck yeah!
It's like a mishmash of all of his previous work coming together. But
yeah, it's amazing.
A new game from NetEase called Blood Message. It is a single-player action game. No platforms were announced. I would imagine PC, PlayStation, Xbox, but who knows?
Yeah, I want to see more about this. So what we saw in the trailer looked interesting. I want to know more about what's actually going on in the story. But it looked really cool. It was nice and visceral.
And we will find out more in due time. We found out something weird about Stranger Than Heaven. Fucking Tupac is in it.
Yeah.
And Snoop Dogg. And someone else that I didn't actually recognize.
Yeah, I mean, Snoop Dogg. Snoop's in everything, but fucking Tupac is in it. What the hell?
I just don't know. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. That was a big shocker.
It's coming in January. We'll find out more. But a new game called Hex, H-A-E-X, Hex, open world action game for Minds Behind the Division and Little Nightmares, coming to PC, and it looks unique.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
I know. Warranted.
Yes, it is.
Mortal Shell 2 has an open beta going right now, which is cool.
Yeah.
Check that out. Sand Raiders of Sophie is a steampunkish walker assembly shooter from Tiny Build hitting Steam. This was a weird one.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be a lot of PvP, so I was...
I wonder how much PvP... It's kind of like a mech kiln, where you're creating your own walkers and tanks and...
Yeah, I assume the other tanks you're fighting are piloted by other players, I assume. If it's not, I'm going to be much more interested in that game.
I do not know. That's the joy of these things. We don't know shit.
Yep.
We'll find out more when they're ready to tell us.
Yeah.
Yep. To be fair, I never know shit. So
yeah, we know. Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced got a new trailer coming out July. And then they showed a trailer for a new game from Platinum. The Last Ronin. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Platinum Games.
That was a good
reveal. Yeah, that was awesome. I am
very excited for that.
Yep.
Very, very, very. Gundam Rogue Orbit 2027. Let Aki talk. Aki talk.
It looks like a big old mash between Armored Core 6 and Monster Hunter to me. They only showed two people, the pilot, which is obviously going to be you, and some really cute girl that seems to be maybe your handler or something, and it looks like you're fighting these animalistic-type machines. So it looks really cool. It's going to be a melee-focused game, even though you have guns in it. I'm so fucking excited for this. Just, we don't Shocker. Get enough Gundam games, and a lot of them are really mediocre. So I want this to be good.
Well, no platforms mentioned, so
I'm sure it'll be at least on PC outside of that.
Next up was a game from a solo dev who made a game about two geese carrying an egg called An Extremely Hard Game. Comes out on Steam July 24th, and this looks like it will cause many friendships to end.
This is a Brie game. She can't play this with injury.
I don't know about that.
Sure.
That seemed like something he would like.
Yeah, and it's not just two-player. You can actually play it four-player, too.
Oh, that's...
They showed near the end.
More complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had multi-teams, so that'll be fun. There was a Pew Pew action game with stealth, maybe co-op, we're not sure. Crossfire by That's No Moon.
That looked really good, and it the way they're doing stealth in it is brand new, and I really liked it. It was super awesome to look at.
Was that the one how the girl just, like, squatted and...
Yeah, and changed her position based on how high the stuff was. Yeah, that was it. It looked
really cool. I think they were making a big deal about nothing, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's brand new looking.
Differently based on the cover. Okay.
Realistically, it's not super important. It's just more immersive, realistically speaking.
Yeah.
But I know the other character that was with her was able to actually turn invisible. I'm really hoping it's like a co-op game and you each play one of the two. But again, who knows?
Yeah, Control Resonant had a new trailer coming out September 24th.
That really will continue to look bitchin'.
Yeah. Guild Wars 3 was announced as the next evolution of the MMORPG announced for Steam and PS5. That's it. Kind of annoyed at that.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Guild Wars 2, but...
That's a shame.
Kind of shit. Yeah. I even went through, like, all this hassle to remap all these bindings to a controller so I could just use a controller to play the game since there was no controller support. I bought a video card for that game. Believe it or not. After that was Star Wars Galactic Racer trailer that comes out October 6th.
Hype.
Nice.
Yep. And then End of Abyss, which comes out October 1st.
Little nightmares, but you got a gun to blicky a bitch. I approve 100%.
Last Harbor, another game from Tiny Build. This one's hitting Steam.
Yeah, both me and Brie liked that one.
Shocker.
It's like Raft, but with zombies. Pretty cool.
I was pretty excited about the next one. They announced a new Virtua Fighter game was coming. And people were like, And then they showed the trailer, and people were like, oh.
Yeah, it looked cool.
It's like a full-on story campaign. I don't even know if it's a fucking one-on-one fighting game anymore.
I have no idea. I would like to see it not be, just because that would be something completely different. That would be super awesome. And I loved Virtua Fighter back when I used to play it on like PS2. Those were
even
good
cooler.
Days.
It's from the Yakuza studio, RGG Studio.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Yakuza team's working on this.
It's going to be some punchy.
RuneScape Wilds had a new trailer that is hitting PlayStation, PC, and Xbox September 15th.
That's a U game, something fierce.
Yes. Soul Frame is hitting pre-alpha.
That looked really awesome. It's the Warframe devs, but they've made an RPG. I'm kind of interested in that.
New DLC coming to Grounded 2, or not DLC, a new update coming to Grounded 2, August 11th, which is coincidentally the day it launches on PS5. Yay!
Yeah, I'm hoping that they just come out with achievements at some point soon. That would be great.
Oh, it doesn't have achievements yet?
Nope.
Maybe with the PS5 launch.
Maybe.
Since I think they need trophies over there.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Mafia the Old Country expansion hits August 14th.
Nifty.
Cool for Mafia owners. And then they showed off 1666 Amsterdam for Steam and Epic. It is a new game from the Assassin's Creed creator. Looks very Assassin's Creed-ish. There is a free prologue on PC now with early access later this year.
One of the other shows I watched actually talked about what's happening in the story a little bit more. Apparently in it, you're going to be a witch, but magic has corrupted people and made them go insane. And you're one of the witches. Your family line goes out and takes the power away from people. So I'm super excited for that. It looked bitchin'.
Yep.
After that, new Saw game, yay, from Bloober Team, yay, it's a 3-on-1 multiplayer game, boo.
Yep, that ruined it.
Yeah, that ruined any excitement I had for it. After that was Lords of the Fallen 2 coming this fall on Xbox, PlayStation, PC.
That doesn't look half bad at all.
I am excited for that. And then a new XCOM-style game trailer for Star Wars Zero Company. Coming out August 27th. Anakin's in it.
Ooh.
Cool.
Blood of the Dawnwalker got a new trailer. That's out September 3rd. Because
that
September
really
has to be stacked.
They showed us a current day area in that. Yeah. And I was not expecting that. That kind of screwed me up.
Vampires through time.
Well, every other trailer that has been shown for this, it was just the medieval times part. So I wasn't expecting there to be a current day part to this at all. So that was really interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's a couple months away. We shall see.
Oh yeah. It looks good. Yeah.
Among Us Story on Guard. It is a brand new standalone Among Us game where you get to solve murders. Shocking, huh?
Yeah.
And then they gave us a quick preview of the TV series, which has a crazy cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked kind of interesting.
I saw Elijah Wood was on there. She was the one, Nicole, Yvette Nicole Brown. Mm-hmm. That was her name. I couldn't remember it at first. It's a good cast.
Yeah.
007 First Light getting a new story mission where Bama will return.
That was interesting to see.
Indeed. Aeon 2 is coming in September.
Visually, that was a nice thing to look at.
Wuthering Waves in Cyberpunk is getting a crossover in June.
That was cute. I like that.
Wasn't that announced for Xbox, or was that something else?
I think that was something else.
Hmm. Oh, well. Monster Hunter Wilds is getting a new massive expansion next year called Monster Hunter Wilds Ascendance.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
There is Sword of Legends, a new fantasy action RPG with annoying ass boss banter.
Yeah, more wire foo souls likes.
Oh, I wanted him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he was so a little grating. I think the big problem was specifically his voice. It wasn't even what he was saying. It was just the VA.
Yeah.
Just had one of those annoying voices, which is a shame. Yeah. I'm going to immediately, if I play that, it's going to probably be in Chinese. So it'll be better.
You think?
I pray.
Sword of Legends will be on PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. So no date. But something that does have a date, Hot Wheels Infinite Rush, coming September 24th, going to hit all platforms from Milestone. Looks good. I love the Hot Wheels games, so I'm excited to give this one a go.
I haven't played any of them, but that trailer looked really nice. And there was a point where some Hot Wheels-shaped duck cars went across and everyone stopped driving for them, and that was so fucking cute. I loved that.
After that, they showed off some of the Year 2 DLC for Sonic Racing, including Evangelion and Godzilla.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Like, what? Okay. And then Sonic Pico Park is coming, too. 4-player Pico Park with Sonic characters.
Yeah, that was wild.
At least it's not 8-player this time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard to get a full game of that going.
Yeah.
So hard. Let's see, what else? Attack on Titan 3 is coming from Koei Tecmo. We will find out more on July 1st.
It looked cool.
Yep. Clutch is a new game. What?
I was about to say, and it made me go and put all of the first two games on my wish list. So.
Nice. Well, you don't need both versions of 2. There's like 2 and 2 Final Battle. I think Final Battle has everything in it.
Final Battle, it has the base game and a extra DLC that is the Final Battle DLC, but it doesn't have any of the rest of the stuff in it, I don't think. I don't know. It's not very forthcoming on the page on what everything includes, so I'm not fully sure, to be honest.
I don't know. No one will ever know.
Very possibly.
Ever. Clutch from Maverick Games, a team of former Forza Horizon devs that is launching in the spring.
I don't remember that one. There we go.
Yeah, driving game.
That explains it.
Yeah. Chronicles Medieval. I just have written down, not for me.
Yeah, or me.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Power World 1.0 update coming July 10th.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized they weren't already at 1.0, so that was interesting to see. And I love at the beginning of that trailer, I was like, oh, it's a new Pokemon game, which really probably isn't going to help Power World out at all.
Not at all, no. I think I said that right after the trailer. I'm like, yeah, that's not helping the accusations.
Yeah, no, not at all. Oof.
New trailer for something that is actually finally happening. The Wolf Among Us 2 is coming next year.
That is one of the few games I was really, really excited about.
Indeed. Not only that, but the first game is getting a remaster this holiday.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Indeed. After that was a trailer for Stellar Blade Blood Rain. The devs have already confirmed that there are no platforms set in stone yet, so it could pop up anywhere.
That trailer looked so good, and then I learned really bad information that hurt my soul deep inside.
Oh no, what?
The devs like using AI stuff.
Yeah, it seems like in the Asian territories, it seems like it's a lot more accepted.
Yeah, they They made it. They used AI stuff in Nikkei. They apparently used it in Stellar Blade 1, which I didn't know about, which is sad. And they're probably going to use it in 2 as well. And that's...
Yeah.
That bums me out.
It's going to be everywhere, and we're not going to be able to avoid it soon. Yay. Thanks, no. Fucking garbage. Street Fighter 6 Year 4 was announced with Yasmin, Arjun, Bosch, and Tifa from Final Fantasy VII?
I was not expecting Tifa.
Yeah.
No one was expecting Tifa from Final Fantasy VII. Which led right into great. Final announcement. Final Fantasy VII Part 3 Revelation comes out in the spring. Obviously, it's going to be on PlayStation, but it's going to be on everything else as well.
There's also a new VA... for Seth Roth, just in case anyone cares. The original guy who was voicing Seth Roth for the first two games had a scheduling conflict, and therefore Travis Willingham is taking over, who is a friend of Matt Mercer.
I like how you find all the useless info that we
it was amusing information for me.
That was Summer Game Fest. I thought it was a good show this year. I appreciate the fact that it wasn't exclusive after exclusive like some other years.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The only one I'm really annoyed by being a quote exclusive is Guild Wars 3.
Which is fair. You liked 2, so it makes sense.
I like RPGs. Anyway, today we had the Xbox Summer Showcase. And we're going to talk about that now, because they started things off with Gears E-Day trailer that comes out October 6th. And then Asha came on and confirmed that, confirming all the speculation, Gears E-Day is an Xbox console exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird, huh? They're doing this again.
Yeah. PlayStation fucked around and now they're finding out, I guess.
I kind of hope the trend continues. Like, this isn't the only game that was revealed, there's other games that were revealed for PlayStation, and I think we had more announced for PlayStation than announced as console exclusive on Xbox, which is weird.
I think we only had like 2 or 3 that I think were console exclusive to Xbox.
Just two.
Okay.
Gears and later. Fable had a new trailer. It was much darker. February 23rd. This one's still on PlayStation. I don't get this one, but whatever. Do what you want, Xbox. It's your company. I'm just a pleb who buys your shit.
Yeah.
Halo Campaign Evolved trailer comes out July 28th.
With new Resonance. Story missions.
Yeah, three they said?
Yeah, 3 new story missions from before all of that shit happened.
The before time.
Yeah.
Resonance, A Plague Tale Legacy, coming out August 27th.
Damn, that is going to be so action-y, and it looks so fucking good. I am so stoked for that. I love the first 2. Oh, I can't wait.
Persona 4 Revival got a trailer coming February 18th, and it will be on Game Pass.
Very nice.
Next up, after a long, long time, State of Decay 3 finally got a new trailer, a release window of 2027, and a PlayStation 5 release.
It looked nice.
Yeah.
I'll definitely give it that. It looked pretty good.
If it's online, at least that one kind of belongs on PlayStation if it's online.
Yeah.
Given the live service. I need to go back
and play the first 2, because I've heard those games were really good, but I've never actually played one.
Free, have you played them?
A little bit. Like, it was okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How about you, Joe?
I've never played them.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I played the How to Survive game. That was fun.
I think I've played that one as well.
Sea of Thieves has Custom Seas 2.0 coming later this month. Bree, does it matter?
Yeah, I was saying while we were doing the watch along, like, it's if it had come out a couple years ago, like when they first announced it, it would have been better. I don't know, it's too little too late for me.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
It's free though. Yay. Not a subscription model.
New trailer shown off for Metro 2039. You get to fight Nazis in this.
I'm so fucking happy.
It comes out in February. You know, that non-crowded time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Where Fable's going to avoid competition. Yeah. Against things like Persona and Tomb Raider and Metro.
Yeah.
Yay. Bad Magpie is a cute game, kind of like Untitled Goose Game, that's coming next year.
You're a pyromaniac.
Like yeah, I like that one. That one
looks
good.
This one looks cute. It was like sad at first, and then you turned out to be an asshole, and I'm like, eh. I'm down for this.
Yeah, the moment you set that stick on fire and it started showing it bouncing around in the flower field, I was like, oh yes, this is going to be good.
New game from Team Ninja and Koei Tecmo, Wo Long 2 Wings of Ember was announced for early 27. We'll be hitting Game Pass. I'm waiting for Koei Tecmo Team Ninja to pop up and finally be like, Neo Collection, now on Xbox. That would be
that
nice.
That would be interesting.
That would be nice. Come on, Team Ninja, you like doing so much with us.
What's good luck to Neo? Those who play Wo Long 2. The first game was so hard. I never got past the halfway point.
Nice.
Ever. And I've played it so much.
After that was a game I think everybody was wanting called Join Us, where you get to open and run your own cult.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Up to four-player yep. co-op or single-player comes out March, and it will be on Game Pass.
I liked the very ending bit of the trailer. They got on like a PA system and said, hey, whoever lost this decapitated head, come claim it here soon, or it's going to be given first come, first serve basis.
Yeah.
Fucking love that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. That one looks really good. After that was a shock new surprise, Senua, new game from Ninja Theory, coming out 2027. And yes, it's confirmed for PS5.
I don't even care. This is going to be bitching. And
yeah.
Good news, Sony.
Yeah.
I just love that they're like, we got to do exclusives again. Gears is going to be exclusive. And then every other fucking game that they showed this show had a PlayStation logo on it.
They're really lucky they're getting Senua, honestly, because fucking PlayStation had the chance to buy the company and didn't give a shit. So they're lucky they're getting that.
I just want Enslaved to come back. Can we please get a remaster of that? Work with Namco on that, please.
Oh, that'd be so amazing. I fucking love that game.
Fallout 76 segment. Anything that worth mentioning, Bree?
It still exists, yay.
Okay. Doom the Dark Ages Revelations. Hell freezes over in July. New DLC coming next month.
Mm-hmm.
That looks so good. I can't wait for that to come out.
And then. Yeah. Crazy Taxi World Tour is coming with the Offspring music playing, blaring nice and loud, coming next year, 2027, to everything.
Congrats.
Yep. After that, 25th anniversary Series X console was revealed. Looks really, really good. And then I found out it's only a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Such a shame. It looked, it was fucking gorgeous. And that's coming from somebody.
It should be 2 terabytes. Like, if it was 2, I would probably replace my Galaxy. But it's not, so I can't.
If it was 2, I might have bought it. And I've never bought a specialty edition fucking Xbox or anything ever. Like, that's just not, like, I don't collect the controllers, I don't collect the Xboxes, never done anything. If that had been 2 terabyte or higher, I probably would have bought it. Because, oh my god, it's so fucking pretty.
What about you, Bree? You gonna get it?
No.
No. You gonna get the controller? No. That will be sold separately.
No.
I might.
I might get the controller.
It's pretty too.
Anyway, after that Age of Empires segment that no one cared about, followed by Minecraft Dungeons 2 trailer, comes out September 29th. September is busy.
Yes, extremely.
After that, new game called Magicians, The Devil's Deal. It is a magic-themed first-person game in hell.
That looks so cool.
This has me most interested. Created by Uppercut Games, the team behind Submerged in City of Brass.
And I didn't realize that's what they had made. Okay.
And multiple time guests on SML, so maybe we could get them back for Magicians.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I love the Submerged games.
Yeah, I would love to get them back on for another chat. Yeah. I'll have to shoot an email. After that, Valor Mortis. Aki, you seem to know something about this. What is Valor Mortis?
It's set during Napoleonic days, and the war is not going so well. So they've decided, well, let's give them a bit of magic to revive the dead. So when our soldiers fall in battle, they'll get back up and keep fighting. And isn't working out so well for them because they turn on everyone equally. And it's a fast-paced Souls-like game that's going to have magic in one hand and a sword in the other. It looks fucking awesome, and it was announced last year during E3, I believe.
Cool. Anything else?
I really want it.
Comes out September 24th.
That's so far away.
Yeah. After that, we had an ESO segment. Bree, anything worth mentioning?
Thieves Guild. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the Thieves Guild. It's the best guild.
So how long till Keely shits on Xbox? I don't know. He does this pretty frequently. there was a Flight Sim segment.
That was pretty cool. The National Parks. Off
some new stuff coming. Where Winds Meet is available today on Xbox.
Very nice. I've heard that's a really good game.
I don't know much about it, but I'll give it a look-see.
Yeah, go for it.
After that, we had a new trailer for Castlevania Belmont's Curse. Gave us a release date, too. October 15th.
That looked really good.
Yeah. After that, Vivarium, an 80s anime-styled visuals life sim kind of thing.
Yeah.
Coming next year to Game Pass. This looked really cool.
Yeah.
It was fucking gorgeous to look at. Oh my god, that's my childhood there, yo.
I feel like you shouldn't have that in widescreen.
No.
That should be in 4:3 format. I need black
and on a CRTV.
Yes, a CRT. I was at a flea market today. They had a fucking CRT with a VCR and DVD player in it.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
Very.
Where Winds Meet, 160 gig. So I'm not going to be playing Where Winds Meet.
What? Why? What was the reason?
160 gig.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't realize. Oh, wow.
No pulse, just said 160. Holy hell.
That's a bit more than I thought. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
That in Final Fantasy VII, Part 2, clocking in at like 170. Ugh.
Holy fuck.
Shit's getting crazy. Persona 6 was announced. It is going to be hitting Xbox, PlayStation, Steam. Will be on Game Pass, but no date.
Yeah, and if you had been following leaks and stuff, you already knew they were going to talk about that, so.
Yeah. After that, Spyro is back. Spyro of Realm Beyond is going to be hitting everything next spring, and it will be on Game Pass, coming from Activision. Did they show developer? I'm going to guess it was Toys for Bob, because that's been rumored for a while.
I don't know.
I don't remember that being shown, but yeah, I also don't pay as much attention to that stuff as you do, so...
Yeah. Anyway, after that, new trailer for Clockwork Revolution, where you get to change history 25 years back. And this was the other big reveal. It is a console exclusive next year.
I am so fucking hyped. So hyped. I've had that on my watch list for like a year and a half, 2 years now. Oh, it looks so good. Looks so, so good.
Yeah, so that and Gears will be the two Xbox exclusive titles that we get in the coming 2 years. Way to build that portfolio, Xbox. We're becoming, we're increasingly becoming a platform.
Yeah.
You were. Ugh. They ended things with Call of Duty. And we all immediately tuned out.
Yeah. Two of us went to go bathroom. We were so damn uninterested.
Yeah, so that was the Xbox showcase.
That was really good. And when it was over, I didn't realize it had even been half as long as it was. That hit so many good games. So many of the trailers were really good. Even games that I'm not personally as interested in had really good fucking trailers that pulled me in. So that was fantastic.
I was also a fan of the format where they don't do a lot of bullshit in the middle talking.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
that definitely fucking helped. I say as I'm still watching the IGN live. That's six.
Let's
and a
not
half
talk about
hours.
That. I thought it was a solid show. I think Summer Game Fest was better, and I think State of Play overall had a better lineup. Mm. But I think everyone had good shows this year. I don't think anything was bad.
Yeah. A lot of...
Like most
fact,
years,
even
like, oh, this show sucked. Like, none of them sucked this year. They were all solid.
Yeah, even a lot of the shows that we didn't really, well, that y'all didn't watch, a lot of those were actually pretty decent too. I was surprised.
Do you have any highlights you want to mention from the other shows?
I'd have to actually look through the notes, and they're extensive at this point, because again, there's like, I've watched through like 15.
Didn't you give me like
16?
A Cliff Notes on Discord last night?
Yeah, like 40 something games. Yeah. Maybe something
long.
Like that. It was.
I have to scroll past all
more.
The soda talk.
Yeah.
That's not that long. There's, Mixed Summer Game Showcase.
I've written a lot of stuff so I could remember what the games were. They showed off some more of the second Raji game, which looks amazing. There's Breath Edge 2 is coming. It looks fucking awesome. Wonderfall. It looks really good. It's everything in the world is crumbling into entropy except for you, and you're fighting to figure out why. And then there was Shade Protocol and Alabaster Dawn, which are similar games to CrossCode that look really awesome, and all three of them seem to be doing a bunch of crossovers, which is super cool. Roller Girl, they showed off a little more about that. It's a narrative game where music that your character listens to changes the physical world around you. It's more or less seems to be a narrative walking sim, but you're rollerblading instead.
Bree, did you watch any of the other shows? Do you have any highlights?
I did not get a chance. I still want to go back and watch Day of the Devs. That's probably going to be my highlight one, but I did not get a chance to look.
Aki, what kind of good stuff is on Day of the Devs?
Day of the Devs, let me look at it. Threads of Time, which is an RPG. Fun. Yeah, it's an old-style RPG where you travel through time and you pick up teammates throughout all the different times, and you can change stuff in the different times.
Oh, so it's
and go back.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, basically. Because it actually changed things, because they're like, oh yeah, you can go back to the time of the dinosaurs and you can save them, and it changes the future. And that was kind of cool. Nice. Prove You're Human was shown off. It's a game basically where you do a bunch of captures while talking to a robot. They showed off a little more of Screenbound, that game where you're in a 3D world and you're playing a 2D handheld, and help you interact with the world. Yep. Apple Crumble was a game that was shown off, first time ever. It's a mystery game where you're trying to save your granny from a family reunion because someone there is trying to kill her. Yeah, Slap Out of It was a game where it looks like it should be a VR game, but basically you just slap stuff around like a first-person shooter, and it does weird things. It looked funny. Into the Fire, it's basically you're acting as a firefighter to save people on this island, and the island is slowly encroaching on, like, the city and stuff, and people are trying to burn it away, and it's setting fire to fucking everything because they're all stupid, so you're saving them. Then there was When Sirens Fall Silent. You're playing as a woman cop after a serial killer, and as the game continues, she starts to become more and more vulnerable to all the stuff around her because she's losing her mind and stuff, and can't tell the difference between reality and not reality, and it deals with really, really heavy topics. And that was all the stuff that I thought was really interesting on Day of the Dev, personally. That's probably only about a quarter of what was on it. So
yeah, those are big shows.
Yeah, almost every show is 2 hours.
One of the other highlights that was mentioned this week, Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee from, like, the GameCube is coming back this September. Or this October, I think they said. It's going to be on everything, I believe. I think it's only clocking in at, like, $20-$30, too. So, is pretty nice. Yeah.
There was another one that I think Bree will end up liking, and so will I. Dungeons and Dining Tables.
Already has my attention from the title.
Yeah, you play as an axolotl, and you're going into dungeons and finding furniture, and the rarer and cooler the furniture is when you place it in your home, the better the stats you get when you go into the dungeon again. It's really weird. And one that I'm super interested in was Koshmar, The Last Reverie. You play as a young woman, and basically you're the only one awake after a sleeping plague has hit your city, and you're the mortician's daughter. You're going into all of their dreams and trying to wake them up, and every time you do it, you lose a little piece of who you actually are. It looked so fucking cool.
All right, well, any other highlights, or should we wrap this up? Because we got a lot more show we got to take care of. Jacob and Horror Acolyte are going to pop in. We're going to take care of some reviews. A little bit more news after the break. What else did we record? I mean, what else do we have planned?
Well, there was one just because we talked about Bad Magpie during the Wholesome Direct. There was a game called Tiny Deliveries. I don't remember which it is anymore. And you play as this little, I assume, AI robot that's driving around. And it's very much like Untitled Goose Game. You're fucking with people, and it's great.
All right. Yeah.
All right, and with that, we are going to take a quick break. We are going to come back and fuck with Jacob a little bit, because that's fun to do. Music is gonna play for like 10 seconds because I'm just playing short shit today.
All right.
Yeah. So Mustin's theme is gonna play, and then it's gonna be us again, and you gotta just put up with us. I'd apologize, but you know, I gotta get this show posted tonight, so I don't care. That's how I feel.
Yeah, fair enough.
Any final words?
These shows were awesome.
Yeah.
welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. We got more show to take care of. Aki and Bree are still here, and we've got Jacob and Horror Acolyte joining in. How's everyone going? Yeah, whatever.
Words,
you know what I mean.
Words.
It's been a long day.
Yep.
That was a great presentation, by the way, wasn't it? When they showed that thing.
It was life changing.
Yeah.
Never be the same.
The gaming landscape is changed forever, honestly, after that showcase. Who knows what to say? There's just no words. No words can describe what happened.
I mean, that reveal, did you expect it?
No. But I'm glad. You know, we've been waiting how long for it? It's about time. I know, Aki, you're excited about it.
You think she's excited? You should feel my nipples.
Jesus Christ.
We got more show we got to take care of. We got a bunch of reviews we got to tackle. Before we get to that, I have just an itty bit of news that we got to take care of because it wasn't part of the showcase. And that's the Game Pass lineup. Yay, new games coming to Game Pass. June 8th, Solar Punk and Undisputed.
Okay.
Get some not boxing bad. Going on. June 9th, Persona 5 Royal.
Okay.
Goes well with that Persona 4 Royal that was,
yeah.
I'm taking a shot in the dark with that one because that's rumored. June 11th, Bistro.
Okay.
With Beast instead of Bistro. Yeah. Bistro.
Yeah.
Frog Squad and Star Seeker Astroneer Expeditions hits game preview.
I'm excited for Star Seeker Astroneer Expeditions. I enjoyed Astroneer, played it with one of my regular Seas crew, and I'm looking forward to checking that one out.
Cool beans. And then June 16th, Junkster. And that is our 2-week update as my cat is sniffing my drink. Coltrane, what do you want?
Your drink.
Weird. She's been very weird lately, and I don't know why. Like, she's been very whiny.
She wants attention. I don't
know. She does, and I give it to her constantly. Can't be all good news, though. A couple of games got to leave this service, and there's some big ones leaving. Jurassic World Evolution is leaving. Lost in Random, The Eternal Die.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sucks.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World, The Game Complete Edition. That is the Ubisoft re-release that came out a couple years ago. Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge.
Oh, great game.
Yeah. That's leaving Essential, isn't it?
I don't know, but it means I'm going to have to go buy it now because the kids love it.
Oh, it's a must-own.
Warhammer 40K Space Marine Mastercrafted Edition. Those are the five leaving at the middle of the month.
I mean, Jurassic World isn't that big of a loss because the third one just dropped on Game Pass, so... I mean, either that or else my kid bought it without me knowing, so...
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
Could very, very much be a possibility of what happened. Your kids are just siphoning money. It's all going to Roblox.
No, that Roblox is banned at our house.
Very good.
Good for you.
You were a good parent.
Yeah, Minecraft isn't, but Roblox most definitely is.
So, that is my news. Aki, do you have any tiny news for the week?
No, not that I remember. I know I had something, but I've forgotten it. So
proud of you. Look it up. We'll come back to you. Bree, you got anything?
Let me check my phone because I didn't write any notes. That's fair. Did I save anything?
We technically weren't doing news, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I will say this, though, right now, if, like, you were thinking about buying Jurassic World Evolution, like, getting the deluxe edition is, like, legit $1 more than however much it costs with your Game Pass discount. That is wild.
I did not read the article, but I did save the title of an article, and I'll just skip the fanfare. It's a Variety article talking about Sega's Streets of Rage movie. Got the Sonic the Hedgehog writers, Pat Casey and Josh Miller, with Jim is Samuel to direct for Lionsgate. So that's
it's movie you know, watch. There.
So yeah, Streets of Rage movie.
I mean, we had to, right?
Yeah.
And then did we already talk about the Xbox delaying Fable?
I thought we did last week.
I don't remember. It's going to February though, because you know nothing else is going to be in February now.
Tomb Raider.
I mean, that's lucky.
So that was all the stuff I had saved in my phone that I didn't transcribe into my notes. So there you go.
Knock on. Horror Acolyte, any news?
Just a small tidbit, I guess. So the physical edition of Platypus Reclaid launched today on PS5 and Switch through Super Rare Games, which we interviewed the dev on the show a little while back. And it's funny because when they were on the show, I recommended that they use Super Rare Games if they made a physical. I don't know if you took my advice, but that's who they ended up going with. So that was cool to see. I was like, yes.
Again,
I had to pick that up. Yeah, I ordered it today. It's almost out of stock for Switch, so
wow.
If you want it, back soon.
All right, Jacob, news. Anything you got?
Atari is buying the maker of the Crossy Road games.
All right.
Okay, that is.
And the game director of. The game director of Tekken 8 has left Bandai Namco after 20 years, which, yikes.
Didn't he go to SNK? Didn't we cover that?
No. This is a different guy.
Oh, different.
Kohei Akita. Yeah, he's also left. So,
damn.
That'll be interesting. And also, Digital Eclipse has announced a Toy Story Retro collection and a remaster of Toy Story 3.
I'm excited about this. Toy Story 3 was solid.
You just reminded me. I have other news.
Oh, I know what Bree's going to talk about.
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yep. I knew it.
Apparently, Donald and Jacob, do you want to talk about the achievement thing?
I
because you got it done already. Right?
So here's the poop. I honestly have not fired up Disney Dreamlight Valley for about 2 months now. It's kind of weird, but it's just like I'm depressed and my emotional state will not allow me to like I just can't enjoy Disney Dreamlight Valley because I'm just like, yeah, this is such a fantasy when such a shithole is happening outside and like the world is burning and all this other kind of stuff. And it's just like, I just can't get into it. it is no longer like this kind of like escape thing for me. So I honestly just haven't fired it up in 2 months. From what I understand, it has to do with the night thorns, which grow all over the valley. And like initially in the game, there's like 1,000 of them for you to clear all around the valley. But the problem is that they only regenerate like 10 of them per day. Now, I mean, you could bump over to the first DLC thing, because those things also count as night thorns. But anyway, with the addition of Hercules to Disney Dreamlight Valley, that has actually changed stuff, and apparently he helps you mow through night thorns way quicker.
There's a maze that you race through, or a race you gotta do. Reduce
the amount you need or something is what I remembered reading, so yeah.
I am honestly not, like, I don't, like, I only know, like, the bare bones of it. But honestly, like, I didn't think that clearing out all the night thorns was really that big of a deal with it. Honestly, like, my final one was cooking stuff. Like, that's a pain in the butt. So.
Fair.
Anywho.
By the sounds of it,
quick news. I'm glad that was quick news. Anything else from anyone?
Yep, because I remembered what I was going to talk about. Woo! It's a rarity. IO Interactive won't be self-publishing the next James Bond game because Amazon got the rights to it after IO had already come to an agreement to make First Light. So Amazon's now going to have a lot more say and control in the next game because IO Interactive is planning another one. And they're hoping to make a trilogy. Given the reception,
I would imagine that they are planning more than a trilogy at this point.
I mean, it sold like 1.5 million in like the first day, so.
Yeah.
It has been well received as well.
Yeah, I just more worry about Amazon having more control on whether actually want to push everything. That control. Because IO, I trust with it. Amazon, if they can just shut the fuck up and say, here's a check to IO, I think it'll go good. If Amazon can't manage that, which historically they haven't been able to manage shit like that, I worry quite heavily. Because Amazon just, they don't quite get it. But yeah, that was it. That was all for me. All right.
So, review time. Should we dive into these?
Let's do this shit.
Might as well.
What?
I said might as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't. But you said something else. Like burn in hell or something.
Yeah, Joe.
Why are you telling me that? You're supposed to tell themselves. Aki that.
I said that's what I say when people excuse themselves after burping.
What, burn in hell?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, so that's why I've never heard that, because I never excuse myself.
We are very well aware.
Good.
All right, let's get into these. First game to talk about tonight is Isekai Villain, developed by XCreate, published by Kemco. Released June 5th, Xbox Play Anywhere, Switch 1 and 2, PS4, PS5, PC, $19.99. An ordinary young man is reborn into the world of his favorite comic, only to find himself as a bit part villain doomed to die. To escape his fate, he must rise as a true villain, gathering allies, defying heroes, carving a new destiny in this dark fantasy isekai JRPG. Experience a story of survival, betrayal, and ambition where good and evil clash in a pixel art world. Jacob, you are taking a swing at the Kemco games. What are your thoughts on Isekai Villain? What is this game?
So, first off, I want to start off by saying I generally don't like JRPGs. Like, they're too slow for me. My very first one that I ever played way back in the day was Final Fantasy on the NES. And I was just absolutely lost, like, the whole entire time, like, hated it. Like, the only way that you could get me to play a JRPG is have Pokemon in it. And so, like, pretty much for years, I more or less avoided the genre, even though, like, I keep trying to, like, oh, well, I'll check out this Final Fantasy, or I'll check out this, like, other Xbox title, all that kind of stuff. And when Joe was just like, hey, can we cover that? Like, can you cover this for us? So I was just like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. I am pleasantly surprised with this. Like, first off, movement's not sluggish. I'm good. In fact, it's actually too quick because my guy's just like zipping across all over the screen.
Yeah, I was watching your stream. You had issues moving around sometimes.
I really do because like I'm trying to like talk to this one person, but then because it lets you move diagonally and stuff like that, which, you know, I've never done that in a JRPG.
It's the future, man.
I know. You know, it only took until 2026 for somebody to figure out
whole directions of movement.
So moving around, it can be a little hectic at times, but you play as this guy who lives over in Japan and you fall down, like you're reading your manga, you're not paying attention, and you end up falling down a sewer, like with an open manhole cover, and you're injured and you're presumably dead. Like, when you first wake up, you realize that you're in this manga that you really enjoyed. And you're just like, oh, well, you know, okay, this is kind of weird. Well, you know, I'll let it go for a day. And like, you know, it's just a dream. No biggie. And then the day turns into 2 days and then three and a week. And then you're like, I might have reincarnated somehow into my favorite manga. That's a problem, because you also realize that you are this like low level grunt, and because it's your favorite manga, you know what happens in the future, and you die. Sometime in the future, there's this huge fight where all the villains come together to like stop this like weapon that the good guys have. And they end up, like, the attack fails, and they end up using it on all the bad guys, and it just wipes everybody out. And so you're just like, well, crap, I don't want that to happen, so I need to prevent that. And you're going to prevent it by trying to change how the story plays out. You're working your way up through the criminal organization. You start your own squad of random people that you pick up. So the first one is kind of random, but then the other two people are like these side characters from the manga that you're just like, oh, all right, well, I know them, and, you know, I kind of know how good they are, so I'll take them onto my team. And you end up being pretty efficient at stuff, and you move up through the ranks, and that's pretty much the whole basis of it. You're trying to move up the ranks of your criminal org, and also trying to prevent the future where you die, where you and all your friends die, because the game also makes it pretty clear that you're just like, oh, well, it's not going to be enough if I just save me. I also need to save my team and this guy and this guy and Bob Barker and Richard Petty and like Jean-Claude Van Damme. I have to save everybody. You know, it's just... Yeah, I don't know, but you decide that you got to save everybody. So I'm going to guess that in the future in this game, like, there's going to be various like little missions where I also have to say, like, before I hop out of stuff, you know, I'm going to have to save people. But the story zips along pretty well. There are little mini quests that you can do, which will just get you more items, and it'll help your renown. Because, of course, if you're going to be a big bad villain guy, you know, you have to have that notoriety. And you can get notoriety through doing quests, obviously following the storyline, you know, how many monsters, bad, like, good guys you kill, that kind of stuff. And it can even grow through like just opening up chests and like using certain items and stuff like that, or receiving certain items. So there is quite a bit to do. And on top of it, you have this like little, I don't want to say like colony area, but after this one mission, the head of the criminal org gives you this like parcel of land, and she's just like, all right, you could build whatever you want on it. And as you keep doing well, you're allowed to like, you're gaining access to more land, and you're allowed to build more buildings. And all of these buildings will do stuff like, you know, if you have farmland, it'll increase your HP like permanently.
That's really cool.
If you have like certain like smithing, like stores and stuff like that, it helps your weapons. There's certain like retailers that, like shops you can open up, and like they'll always have like super rare items that will change out like daily. There's also these guys who will go off and like fetch stuff every 2 hours for you, which was pretty handy. But yeah, like it's pretty neat, and like you could demolish and like strengthen the buildings as you see fit. So like, if it gets to a point where you're like, all right, I only need 2 fields, I don't need 3. I could demolish a field and use that to build up a new building to help stuff grow. And weirdly enough, and I think that this is just like kind of like a tip of the hat, like, you know, kind of like nudge, nudge, ha, 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 kind of thing. But there is a premium pass within the game that you can buy, and that just unlocks all these rewards. Like, there's a free column, and then there's the premium column. And once there's like 50 levels to it, and I think you actually get an extra character when all is said and done, but I'm not entirely sure. And it really doesn't help that I'm the only guy playing this right now on crew achievements, because it's not like I could just look up and see what they did.
It releases in 3 hours. So,
yeah, I know. Like, so I'm just flying blind in this game, but I'm 11 hours.
That's how you do it, man. That's how you do it. Just enjoy them, take them as you go.
Yeah, like, and it's just like the dial, like the story is kept moving. When I'm lost, it is my own fault because I can't follow a map. You know, and so
I was like, gonna say, this is a Kenko maps aren't usually very complex.
Oh yeah, no, but like as my wife could tell you, my spatial awareness is like absolute crap. So, very like I don't know if you watch, like you probably watched me play a bunch, and yeah, it's just like I'm running through the forest like a million times, and I swear to God, like I've gone through the same five screens over and over again. But somehow I don't know how to get to that sixth screen where like the actual thing for my quest is located. So, you know.
Proud of you.
It's probably what it's probably helping pad out the game, the gameplay time. Kemko's like, well, for normal players, this should take 8 to 10 hours. If you're an idiot American, it's going to take you way more.
You're only an hour into the story right now.
Actually, Mr. Joe, he hasn't even made it out of the tutorial yet.
Oh, geez. All right, well, let's talk about this one. Anything else that you want to mention before we hit the price?
I mean, the art's cool. The music, I mean, it's an RPG, so it's going to be a little bit repetitive. But I liked it. Like, nothing's gotten on my nerves so far. And, yeah, like, I'm pretty pleased with this. I also do appreciate the fact that like there are multiple difficulties in this, and so I get to play this on easy, and I'm just wiping out everybody, because this difficulty is clearly meant for the people who are really just there for the story, and so yeah, I'm having a great time. Like, this is fun. So I'm really looking forward to the next chance I get to review a Kemko RPG.
A month. $20. What do you think?
Absolutely. This is a lot of fun. I've already put 11 hours into it. I'm going to be seeing this story to the end. I need to know what the heck happens to this guy and everybody else on my team and Ray Charles and like
Reef.
Howard Taft.
About Reef.
You know, yeah, she's fun, but I've got a suspicion. Yeah. Anyway,
we got to move on. Next game, One Move Away, developed by Ramage Games, published by PlayStack. Released May 28th, Xbox, Play Anywhere, Switch 2, PS5, PC, $14.99. One Move Away is a 3D first-person game that blends packing-based puzzles with a beautiful art style. Strategically pack away possessions at various stages of three characters' lives. As we go through life, the number of possessions we accumulate grows, making packing a difficult task. This vast collection of belongings becomes challenging when it's time to pack. That sounds like my life, and every time I have moved, I have more video game statues. Bree, tell us about One Move Away.
So this is a first-person puzzle game that follows three characters through stages of their lives. This is like the opposite of the game Unpacking. Similar, though, in that you get to know the characters and the story of this through their stuff as you pack it into cars. We start with Sylvie in 1973 packing blocks into a toy truck, and that serves as our tutorial. And then it's like 1989 and she's off to university and we need to pack things in her dad's new car. And then the next scenario is like 1991 and she's moving to the city and so on. The controls are pretty simple. You pick up and drop blocks with triggers, which feels kind of like actually interacting with objects in comparison to, say, pressing A. You can undo actions with the D-pad. You can poke things with the left trigger to kind of just get them into place, which is a nice touch. Once you have grabbed objects with the right trigger, you can hold to rotate them with the right stick, which I don't know. There's different like axes you kind of have to fiddle with to make them work. The rotate function probably took the longest to get used to. You can extend your arms a bit, you can stack items, and some items can be manipulated to shrink them down into a more squeezable shape. Ultimately, this is about figuring out how to fit things in a space without breaking the plane on the top, or in the front or the side or whatever. So you can close the door to the trunk or the car or whatever without breaking anything. There are other conditions to different levels, like leaving the passenger seat empty or not collapsing a lamp or opening a photo wallet or something and packing around it. Each space is a little different, so there's different things you'll have to move. I thought it was interesting to see what each character was moving and why. Maybe it was a good move, maybe not so good. Like, the types of things that were most important were all they took, and that was pretty telling. So, like, Sylvie makes room in 1992 for someone named Dennis in her life, and we have to rearrange the space in our room to accommodate him. So it's not all about putting things in cars. This was about putting things from his boxes into our cabinet as a couple. So it's nice to see we're still making room for our old stuffed animal while adding Dennis's VHS tapes and book collection to the stuff in our space. Spoiler, things don't work out with Dennis, and we have to split things between the trailer and the trunk of the car. I actually managed to get everything into the trailer, which was the extra condition. And there was a segment where you had to see if things stayed on the trailer, which was not an advertised condition at the start of the longest level I had experienced to that point. And I could not see around the back of the trailer in the moving segment to see which things were falling from where. So I couldn't figure out what was falling to adjust it, which was very frustrating. And I basically had to start over from scratch. Damn. I did not like that. Yeah. When you do succeed at a puzzle scenario, there's a little screen that pops up with how well you did, if you met the optional objectives or not, and awards you 1 to 3 stars for your efforts. You can easily replay levels by selecting them again and try to get all your stars. There are some settings of note. You can adjust field of view and sensitivities and speeds like walking and turning, and there are remappable controls. That said, some of the controls were a little fiddly. Sometimes the camera angle was impossible to navigate, like you would reach your arms in, but your head didn't know where it needed to be in relation to the trunk of the car, and so it would do funky things. Objects can be a little wiggly and not stay where you put them. And currently, all the achievements are broken on Xbox. Like,
oh,
all
no. Of
them. Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like
this
that.
This is
at
a
all.
Real shame, and I hope they get that fixed soon because the achievement list actually looked fun, having you stake things upside down or, like, put things in last or scoring a basket. Just, like, I had high hopes for this game, and it did not deliver.
Damn, that is a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, $15. If they get the achievements fixed, what's your verdict?
So, even if they fix the achievements, my verdict stays the same. So, between the finicky controls, the disappointing instruction, the lack of achievements, like, the best I can give it is a try it. I wanted this to be more in line with my impression based on the trailer, and it just didn't live up to the hype for me. It's still obviously a playable game that I got some enjoyment out of, and I'll gladly go back to it when they get the achievements fixed. I thought the storytelling with stuff was great, and there's a good amount of content for the price. Just, you know, like I said, be warned that some of the gameplay is a little frustrating or fiddly or whatever, and those, you know, even when they fix the achievements, there's still those issues going to be there. So,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, so try it is pretty much where it lies regardless, because, I mean, achievements or not, it's still a decent game. It's just not quite what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Necrophosis, Full Consciousness, developed by Dragonus Ares and Adonis Brostenau, published by Dragonus Games, released May 28th on Xbox Play Anywhere and PS5 for $19.99. Begin as consciousness trapped within an emaciated, decaying vessel devoid of memories. Explore grotesque environments cursed with eternal deterioration to unravel fragments of the truth and learn why you have awakened. Soon your journey descends into the darker realms of the subconscious as you become the guiding hand that navigates its shadowy depths while piecing together echoes of the past. Aki, Bree, Horror Acolyte, all three of you want to talk about this one. Who wants to go first?
I can.
Go for it.
So
Does everyone remember the game Scorn? This is like Scorn, visually. Yeah. Very easy way to explain what it looks like to everybody. Yeah.
Are you scorning it for looking like Scorn?
Well, that's up to them. I actually would like to add something to that, because I did a little digging. While it does have a Scorn overall look to it, a name I can't pronounce that I will type in the chat, Beksinski, is the last name. The first name is completely right out for me to, he's a Polish surrealist artist, and he was apparently a huge influence in the art style for this otherworldly nightmare. So visually speaking, while it does have that Scorn look, I feel like it does have a slightly other look looking at this other art. So yeah.
Fair.
Continue.
So you play as this abstract concept put into a fucked up body. And you are basically walking your happy ass through a land that is dying exceptionally, of its own volition, no less. Lots of different concepts have seemingly gotten up and gone there to go die for reasons I don't comprehend. And yeah, death has just been let loose upon this place. This is the end of all things, and you're just trying to get from point A to point Z, I guess, because it ain't B no more. And yeah, you end up finding lots of desiccated people, possibly, around that sometimes you can do some mild interactions with. You find basically different Karens around the ferryman, for those who aren't aware, who brings lost souls across the River Styx. You can find those occasionally, and you hand them coins and they give you bits of information about what's gone on in the world, more or less, kind of, sort of, not really. And yeah, it's just a walking sim with some puzzle elements. So, and the puzzles are kind of all over the place. Like, one of them was you had to figure out what hearts to put into a machine, or maybe it was brains, I can't remember anymore, to put into what part of this giant weird monster thing to make it wake up and move the fuck up out your way so you can continue on your journey. Like, weird shit is afoot. And yeah, it's an interesting little game. It's not super long. You can probably beat this on like a day over the weekend or something.
Yeah, easily.
This is not a particularly long game. The first time you play it, it'll probably be, you know, a handful of hours. But if you decided to run through it again a second time, it would probably be, you know, maybe 2-ish hours to run through it. So it's not a huge game, but there's a lot to look at. Not necessarily to interact with, but to look at. Because this world, like, buildings are collapsing, and there's giant statues of grotesque monstrosities all over the place. It is just visually, there is something every which way to look at.
You know what I'm
and
looking at?
And you kind of want to.
I'm looking at yourself. Jordan with the 25th month resub. Jordan, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for the sub. Vertically Impaired was in here earlier with the 99-month sub.
Wow. Cool.
Very nice.
Yeah. Tony has been a longtime supporter. Love that guy. Yeah. Who else wants to talk about Necrophosis?
I can just add on to some of the stuff that Aki just said. Like, we start out in a crypt with all kinds of interesting bone structures and stuff adorning the walls and the ceiling. And there's like a creature with no eyes waiting to see. And he holds his eyes out expectantly. And nearby, there's protruding eyeballs from a skull that is easy to access. So you take that and then another, and then you're leaving a trail of blood behind. And then you hand over your newly acquired eyes to the creature who inserts them. And if that's too much ick for you, just skip this game. Because that's pretty much the loop of the game, is like inserting eyeballs and brains or removing them from other things and sticking them into other things. That's most of the puzzles. And the world outside of the crypt is full of just tons of things to see, like giant skulls and the bones of enormous creatures, humanoid and other. There's like towering skeletons with veiled eyes in prayer, lining a path out of the valley you're in. And it's all hewn like the desert in pale and rusty oranges to match the sand. There's like, it's just a land of death and the old ones, and it's a poetic one with elegant and even romantic language used in the dark and grotesque world. Like, you have some Lovecraft quotes, which this is based on, is Lovecraft lore, like "that is not dead, which eternal can eternal lie with strange aeons, even death may die." The very beginning of the game even has some poetic verse from William Blake, auguries of innocence. It goes into Ozymandias from Shelley shortly after that. So like the language of this was really beautiful. And there's, you know, voice acting and subtitles automatically. And I thought that that was done fairly well. Like the voice acting is kind of deadpan almost, but that works for this. Puzzle wise though, I feel like it was kind of lacking. Nothing was really too complicated. It's just a matter of exploring the space, which you want to do anyway, because there's lots of cool things to witness. But there was like a little surprise about midway through the game in chapter 3, where there was an added layer of danger where you get seen by wandering creatures, and if they like reach out and touch you, you die and have to restart the segment. So that was a little annoying. But besides the... like the color palette of the normal game was this kind of rust. There are segments that are saturated with reds and blues, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Screenshots for this are nuts.
Yeah, I mean, graphically, this is really pretty for something full of grotesqueries. I mean, sometimes there were some seams on character models and pits of scenery. Sometimes things looked a little plastic. Like, I thought the lighting and color palettes and stuff were done pretty well, though. And yeah.
Or Acolyte, chime in.
So yeah, I don't think I have too much to add. I think you guys have mostly covered it.
That's Aki's
fault. For the most part. Yeah, I'll just blame Aki. But no, for the most part, yeah, this was pretty much a walking sim with light puzzle elements, as Aki mentioned. I think the main draw for this game is definitely the visual elements. Mm-hmm. Very reminiscent of Scorn in a couple segments, even to the point where you almost do exactly the same thing as you do in a couple instances in Scorn. One thing that is kind of a pet peeve of mine nowadays is when like certain aspects of a game are kind of like embellished a little bit with story descriptions. And for me, it was with the puzzles. There's like two, I forget how they phrase it in the description here in the store, but like they mentioned twice how like the puzzles are kind of like, you know, what's the word they use? Engrossing puzzles. And then mind-expanding puzzles in the story.
Yeah, I was about to say they're definitely in grossing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, the puzzles were not anything exceptional in my opinion, in terms of like difficulty or like, you know, thought-provoking and trying to figure them out. It was mostly like find this item, try to figure out where it goes, and then use that to get a new item, and then that goes somewhere else, and then that kind of chains into, you know, the final item for whatever the area is.
Yeah, and it's very much find this item and figure out where it goes out of like six possible places it could conceivably go in the entirety, and there's only a couple places where realistically it's going to go. Yeah.
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 So I think the puzzles were probably the biggest letdown for this one. I was expecting a bit more from those going into this, but overall, I still think it's a fun time as long as you go into this knowing that it's definitely more of a walking sim and you want it for the visual treat. But I also thought the story elements weren't like too amazing. It throws a lot of like philosophical stuff at you from different like, you know, respected, you know, philosophers and then like other individuals, but like they don't really amount to a whole lot, in my opinion, throughout the journey, other than maybe being a little, I guess, mildly thought-provoking, I'll say, at times, but nothing like of great substance, I would say. But yeah, still, it was still visually striking. I enjoyed my time with it.
All right.
I had like a couple other things I wanted to just throw out there that were at the bottom of my notes. I would say that this is a slow game in that it's deliberate. The characters will talk to you for a while, leaving you locked in thrall a lot of times. And the characters move very slow. So just prepare yourself for that. Also, if you had heard about this game on Xbox, there was a controller bug. It was finally patched the other day. It would let you get past a certain maggot puzzle that had been patched. I don't think that problem was anywhere but Xbox, and there was a workaround where you could use a mouse or something. But also, on consoles, thanks to Horror for pointing this out, I kind of went back. It looked like there was a DLC that came out. Apparently, Necrophysis came out on PC earlier, and then they added a DLC to it called Subconsciousness. And then this package that you're getting on consoles is the full consciousness, means that it has the full story, including that DLC, as a separate entity called the Forbidden Path at the end of the game. So there's more to the game than you might realize than the main six chapters in it. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's talk price on this one. I also forgot to mention it is also published on console by P-Cube. I neglected to have that in my notes. $20 bucks on this one. Horak Light, start us off. What do you think of this?
I think it's a try it. Like, it's definitely a fun time, as I mentioned, just be going expecting, you know, walking sim, light puzzle elements, and then I think you'll enjoy it for sure.
Free.
I think the price is decent, but I'd love if it were like $5 cheaper, mostly when considering the length of the game. I'm going to give this a try it. Like, if you like Lovecraftian horror stuff, this is an interesting one. It's just not going to be a game for everyone. I ultimately enjoyed my time with it, though.
Hockey.
I'm also of the mind that it's a try it game. If you really, really like Scorn, this is probably up your alley 100%. Everyone else, this try it. If take a look at it, see if it's something for you. If so, I think it's definitely worth a try it at least.
Cool. Jacob.
I believe you should sacrifice your first and second born to it.
Fair.
That's appropriate for this subject matter. So
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Possibly.
Actually, was some sacrificing of babies in this too, so
you know.
Good times. All right. Next up, Arcade Archives 2 Ace Driver, developed and published by Hamster, released May 27, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $16.99. Ace Driver is a racing game from Namco in 1994. Experience the essence of racing with breathtaking racetracks and authentic handling. Choose a class based on your player level and charge through the game. Who is the true Ace Driver? Jacob, I'm guessing it's not you.
No, not yet. The best I've done is second place.
Oh, second's not bad.
Yeah, not loser, terrible.
Friggin' loser. First loser, number one loser.
Anyway, so be warned, this is a Formula One racer, so you're not going to be drifting all over the place, or if you are, you're not going to be doing it well. and the game is meant to be played with manual transmission. However, thank God, there's automatic. So that's part of why I only have gotten to second place yet. So as I said, this is a Formula One thing, so it's going to be a lot of tight turns, a lot of hitting the gas and braking and knowing how to like manage the two of them. Other than that, it's an arcade racer. You're going around in a lap. You're going around a course, multiple laps, three on the beginner. I don't know what the expert one is, 'cause I haven't finished a race in that yet.
Fair.
Yeah, no, it is way harder to drive in that. Like, it's not just difficulty, like, with your opponents. The handling of the car is just totally different in that thing. And I was just going all over the damn track. But anyway, so graphically, it's very similar to a bunch of other Namco games that were released around the same time, like Aqua Jet.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah, we got we got that too. But yeah, like it's fun. I mean, there's really only two courses, the beginner and the expert. I'm assuming that there's going to be like a mirror version, which the game will tell you about if you get first place. But yeah, like it's fun. And unlike other racing games that's been released so far, you can do a one-on-one race against somebody else. I thought that was nice. A very nice addition for this. So,
dude, the arcade version of this, they sold an 8-player link-up version of the game.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
That has got to be awesome. Walking in an arcade and see 8 of those linked up, ready to go. Dude, that would be
freaking cool. I'm sure that's an awesome experience, but I would probably still place like 7th or 8th.
No, you place 9th.
But there's only 8.
Yeah.
This wasn't my favorite racer, but you know, I think it's definitely worth checking out, especially more if you're like a Formula One fan.
Yeah,
like it's definitely more trying to be on the simulation side of things, especially when you go into the expert thing. I also enjoyed that you can change the cameras in it too. My wife had to stop watching me because I put it into first person mode, and I'm just. Yeah. I think monster. That might be like one of the first times I've ever done first person in a F1 game too. Cause it was really cool. Just like watching like the animation for your tires, because it's just like, obviously they're moving, but it also looks like they're wobbling back and forth. And I'm just like, my car doesn't seem as stable as I'd like it to. Okay.
The game had 2 sequels, one released a year later in 1995, and then the third one released in 2008. 13 years. There was a home conversion for the PS1, I think, was announced, but never came out in 95. And then the Arcade Archives, it is here. So, clocks in, $16.99. What are your thoughts on Ace Driver?
My mouth says to say, yeah, buy it, because I want to support this program, like the series, as much as I can. But my heart is saying, try it. I didn't have as much fun with this as I did with Ridge Racer and stuff like that. But that's definitely more of an arcadey thing than like a simulation experience kind of thing. So as you know, they say, your mileage may vary.
Hate you.
Did you just scream?
Yes. Next like, up. Yeah, that's about all I could muster for you. Next up is Arcade Archives 2 Tadakay Big Fighter, developed and published by Hamster. This one hit the Arcade Archives 2 program May 27th on Series X and S, Switch 2, and PS5 for $9.99. Tadakay Big Fighter is a shooter released by Nichibutsu in 1989. In this game, you could switch between fighter jet and robot form during battle. The key to clearing a stage is to strengthen your ship with power-up items that appear along the way and change its shape to suit the situation. Jacob, this is one of the first games that we saw from the ACA1 series brought to the ACA2 series, and therefore it gets an Xbox release. So, tell us about Tadakay Big Fighter.
So Tadakay Big Fighter, that's how you pronounce it?
Tadakay.
Tadakay. Tadakay.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So I'm just going to call it Big Fighter. So with this game, it is a horizontal shmup, and you're in this, you know, you're in your like little spaceship thing, and you have to defeat whatever like the enemy army is, and they're going to throw all sorts of stuff at you. But what is neat about this, and I do say that like it's almost, in fact, unique, because I haven't run into this before in a shmup, but what you do is that you have two modes. You have a fighter plane or spaceship mode, which you can only fire forward, and you have more maneuverability, but and also you're able to pick up power-ups and stuff like that. However, one hit and you're dead. Meanwhile, there is a robot suit that you could transform into, but that comes with limitations too. Like, you have 3 health bars on there, like, so you could take 3 shots before dying. You can't pick up upgrades, which really sucks, because I found that out way too late. And then you're able to fire in whatever direction you're moving in, which can be real challenging because your ship or your robot won't exactly turn on a dime. And so it just gets more difficult trying to maneuver this. And also, yeah, like, there's a lot of trial and error with this game because you have to figure out, like, all right, what works in this situation? What doesn't work in this situation? And so there's some areas of the map that you're going to be going through, and it's like, okay, cool, this is definitely appropriate for a fire jet, for the fighter jet thing. Okay, I need to switch over into robot mode now, and then switch back. And like, for boss characters, I was having a much easier time dealing with it as the robot, as opposed to the fighter jet, because again, one hit kill. But even then, this game is still super challenging. Because again, you have to keep juggling that thing, and it's a lot of trial and error. And believe it or not, this is an arcade game that it's meant to drain you of all your quarters.
What?
I know. No. Yep, it's true.
Arcade games don't do that.
Yeah, it's true. This one definitely will. But yeah, so I didn't get particularly far in it. It's an interesting game. It's definitely one I think shmup fans will appreciate more than regular folk. But
and apparently went by the name Sky Robo in America.
I could see that. Like, honestly, the robot reminded me of like Robotech kind of stuff. But if you're a fan of shmups, then. I tried looking at Sky Robo up on Wikipedia, and I typed in Sky Bro.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bro. $10 on this one. What are your thoughts?
So if you're a fan of shmups, I'd say definitely get it. If you are kind of on the fence with that kind of stuff, I would say at least try it. Like, it's an interesting concept. Yeah, like, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. So give it a shot.
Cool. And if you already own it on Switch or PS4 and you want to upgrade to the Arcade Archives 2 version, it is $2.99 to upgrade. So, R-E-B. Next up, Morals Out of This World, developed and published by Abrams Studios, released May 28th on Steam for $9.99. Morals Out of This World is a simulation game about mushroom hunting and wildlife photography on alien worlds. Increase your hunter and photographer levels by collecting a variety of mushrooms, photographing alien creatures, and completing weekly tasks. Bree, this sounds like some chore core, and it sounds up your alley. So what is going on in Morals Out of This World?
It is kind of chore core. It's a relaxing first-person simulation exploration game where you explore alien landscapes looking for mushrooms. It's apparently the third part of a trilogy of Morell's games that just came out. Yay. You start off creating a character and deciding how long you want your planetary days to be in minutes. I went with the default 48 because I had no idea what I was doing at first. You have 2 options for starting a game, season mode or exploration mode. The season mode is the main mode of the game, counts for achievements. I'll explain more of that in a minute. And then the exploration mode allows you to just mess around with levels unlocked, points handicapped, and the ability to play as an animal or an alien or whatever. And then you get a little tutorial area that helps you learn the buttons, take photos, pick mushrooms, and learn to walk. I was happy there was controller support. because my setup is not meant for keyboard and mouse gaming. The buttons were all PlayStation buttons for the indicators, so I had to do some mental math to figure out what buttons did what in their otherwise good controller support. I eventually figured out you're supposed to be able to switch to Xbox controls or remap as needed. That did not work for me when I tried to switch to Xbox. It just stayed as PlayStation. So I just, you know, mentally jumped over that hurdle and continued playing. There was actually a difficulty setting for easy or normal as well, and being this game has no combat or any real pressure, I wasn't sure all that was necessary. Like, maybe it had something to do with finding mushrooms. I don't know. So anyway, I started a season, and you basically get abducted by aliens who want you to go to their nature park and complete objectives for them. You'll choose a planet with some conditions and get a list of things to do daily and weekly. You collect morale mushrooms, take pictures of animals, find golden mushrooms, stuff like that. You have a home base that is a tent in the preserve you're in, and a HUD that will help you navigate back to there to drop off your mushrooms. Photography was fairly easy to manage, which is good because it's a pretty big part of the game. The buttons assigned at first took me a minute to get used to, for reasons I mentioned previously. It was really easy to snap into the camera mode and follow an animal. The movement of the animal, once spotted, seems to keep an area, like, in your area for at least a short period of time. Like, the animals aren't going to stop and pose, but they also seem to keep proximity, so you could zoom in and get a shot. There was a little green outline around the animal when it's lined up for proper collection and identification, and that's when you ideally want to press the button to capture the animal's likeness. And then in between levels, there's a hub in the alien preserve that shows your best photos, and you can change which ones are on the wall, which was cute. The loading screen, when you change planets, made me giggle. It is a pair of squirrels playing ping pong. It actually accumulates points if you play it well, and you can, like, sit there for a good amount of time playing squirrel ping pong. Decent amount of biomes amongst the four planets offered, from forest to jungle to desert. There are lots of just random things to find. I found a geodesic dome with dead animals in it. I found a patch of pink mushrooms by a random gaming chair in the woods. And then there's a little, tiny little robot with his arms outstretched. So if you appreciate those kinds of things, you might enjoy this. There's also a hunter guide in the game that offers, different types of things you can find, and it'll show you how many you've already discovered. It helps offer advice on how to put down flags to rediscover patches of morels in different times throughout your season of hunting. And it shows you the animals you found, you know, all that stuff. And then as you gain levels in the hunter ranks, your guide offers you more advice. There are also some things you can purchase in the hub to make your experience go more smoothly. Like, if you run out of energy, you can eat energy bars that you buy at the hub store. There's other different equipment like night vision goggles and just rain gear and stuff that'll make your experience better as you go hunting for different things. And the game rewards by giving you, like I mentioned, the photography and mushroom hunting levels, and some new objectives to give you some guidance in your travels. But there's very little other gamification to this. It's just a chill exploration game. Graphics-wise, it ran fine on my potato of a graphics card. I had no real performance issues. There were some textures that seemed a little wonky at times, and I couldn't have the draw distance very high. Some of the alien world design, like flora and fauna, reminded me a little of, like, the Savage Planet games. More realistic art style, though. And the color palette was kind of similar. It changed from planet to planet. And speaking of that, they just they're on top of patches and updates with the game. They just recently did a patch for Planet 2's graphics to make sure that it was working properly. So good devs doing good dev things. The music had a fair amount of options, or you can just have sounds of nature. There were like 7 soundtracks, from rock to medieval and fantasy. There was some mellow stuff. The main alien chill soundtrack was something. There was like 30 or more songs per soundtrack to listen to. It was a ton of stuff, and it was really cool. There's not much more to the game. You hunt for mushrooms as you wander around. you have, you know, however long you gave yourself, like 48 minutes is what I gave myself at the beginning before it's like, hey, you're out of energy, or, you know, the night's going to fall and you're not going to find stuff anymore. Come back to home base and we'll report you back to the alien hub. And you can, you know, go back anytime you want.
Very cool. Big thanks, Injury, 22-month sub, or 31st-month sub.
There you go.
Be subbed for 22 months, been subbed for 31. Very cool. Thank you. Always appreciate you being here, hanging out. I don't know why you're here. I think you like one of the hosts, but I'm not sure. Morels is $10. What do you think of it?
God, I hope it's Injury that likes me. Oh, he used my face in chat, so it must be love.
Oh, there you go. I'm not sure what I was expecting with this game, but I didn't find it as engaging as I thought I would. Like, I think the game's supposed to be relaxing. You can just enjoy some alien nature in a kind of preserve. And I think I wanted more of a hook than just walking around looking for mushrooms on the ground. I did enjoy this for what it was. I just think I wanted more somehow. I think it is a great price, but I'm going to give this a try it.
Very good.
I don't know that in the simulation genre it's going to be for everyone, because it just did not, I don't know, it just didn't have something all extra right. for me.
All right, let's move on. Next up is Blueberry, developed by Mellow Games, published by Hidden Trap. It released May 28th on Series X and S and PS5 for $12.49. Blueberry is an evocative narrative platformer that invites you to climb the Tower of Life, experiencing the life of a woman as she navigates love, loss, and self-discovery. Aki, what is Blueberry?
Okay, Blueberry is a platforming game. You start off as this little old lady, and she's called by her son, I believe it was, and is told, hey, yeah, for my birthday, don't want you there, because, you know, great kid, I guess. And she gets hit with that little bit of the thing called depression. And that makes her start seeing things, something that she's seen apparently numerous times throughout her life, as she seems to have PTSD based on the people around her and depression, and it all mixing, and yay, great, happy, fun times. So she's like, okay, well, I guess I better strap in for this, because the only way I can get to sleep is if I just deal with this shit now. And she enters a doorway, and it brings her to a magical land of, what the fuck am I looking at? So in it, you start off as a very young version of her, like 6-ish, I guess. And you have to climb this pillar. And as you're climbing it, you find these doors that you can enter. And they give you a little bit of her life when she was that age. And, you know, turns out her mom's kind of an asshole. And then an alcoholic. And then an alcoholic asshole. So yay! Trauma! Ain't it great?
Always.
Yeah. And whilst you're completing each one of these sets of memories, and they have very minor, very, very minor puzzle elements, like one of them is, oh, you want cookies, and they're on a high shelf, so now you're going to platform your little 5-year-old ass up there, knocking stuff over, making the room incredibly dirty, all that fun stuff. Or another one is, oh, while your mom's pushing a shopping cart, you're gonna grab all the cookies and chips and soft drinks and stuff you can, sneak it into the cart, because you want snackies, which, you know, fair. I'm pretty sure most of us have done that. And, so it's just like, oh, you jump out of the cart and platform up things, click A, and then jump into the cart and click A again. Woohoo! Very complicated, as you can tell. These puzzles are just so brain-meltingly hard. And while you're doing all of this, you're trying to keep your character from getting super espresso the depresso. So, some of the actions you do can lead the character to feeling bad about what they've done. Some of them are required in order to move forward in the game, but there's a bunch of them that you can bypass, and it's kind of good to bypass it. If you get hit by the depression, you end up having to eat cookies and juice boxes and stuff that you can occasionally find around the...
I want cookies.
I know, right? The hub world, which will lower your depression by a little bit. And yeah, every chapter, basically, you move up to the next stage of your life, basically. So you can continue to see how depression and how her life has just gone off the rails and made her life miserable and more depressed. all while she's second-guessing herself and wondering if she's a good person because, you know, she liked cookies as a child and shit. So, yeah. That's the entirety of the game, is just climbing up this tower and trying to keep her from wanting to off herself, basically.
God.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing. This laughter is because it's uncomfortable. Yeah. Very pretty game. There are some issues with climbing the tower that I found because I like to break everything I touch.
Yeah.
You can find your way back down to lower sections of the tower. And sometimes you can't get back up them because the pathways that were necessary have disappeared and won't reappear again. So that's something to keep in mind, because sometimes it does an autosave down in those lower areas, and then you have to restart the game all over. Not that I totally had to do that two different times or anything.
Oh god. You were so giggly with this game, and it's weird.
I know.
You sound like you're high.
No, I'm just enjoying it because it's incredibly depressing, and that's just
and it makes
lovely.
Me happy.
Yeah, basically, it's called Schadenfreude. As long as she's miserable, maybe I won't be. That's good enough for me. So yeah, that's basically the entirety of the game. It's just going through her life and seeing just how you can try to avoid a little bit of that depression to hopefully get her out of her funk prematurely, I guess we'll call it, in her old-ass age. Meh.
All right, well, it's 12:50. What do you think?
I think this is a buy it, unless this kind of content negatively affects you, and then in which case, obviously, probably pass for you. But everyone else, I think it's a nice little game.
It's a laugh riot. No.
Yeah, it just deals with some fairly heavy shit. Is all. Otherwise, it's great. It's a fine little platformer.
Put that on the box. Quote: sure to put a smile on your face. Aki, the SML podcast.
It'll make you laugh out loud.
Endlessly joyful. All right, moving on. Next up is Cat-tastic Hidden Object, developed by Aura Gaming, published by Ocean Media, released June 4th, Xbox One, Series X and S, $6.99. Play as Cat, a brave newcomer ready to solve the town's trickiest cases. Find hidden objects, uncover clues, help a bunch of cute cats. Cute cat friends, including Sir Noble Whiskers, Elegant Duchess Priscilla, and Bubbly Mittens. Each mystery you solve brings Cat closer to rising through the detective ranks and helps her fix her new office. Bree, tell us about your time with Cat-tastic Hidden Object.
Did anyone have any doubt that I was the one who reviewed this game?
Zero.
Nope. So this takes place in Whiskerburg, where there is so much drama amongst the gourmet milk tastings of high society catdom. Cat, K-A-T, is a detective with a snack habit. She's a fluffy cat with purple and yellow eyes, and she's wearing a hat and a trench coat and a little tie, and it's adorable. And her first real case kicks off the game. It's a spilled milk mystery. Sir Whiskers wants to know who has spilled his fancy milk before he could lap it up for breakfast. And after some investigations, we find that there is a bigger conspiracy in play. All the cat characters are fancy aristocrats and things like that. They wear waistcoats and bow ties and boas, and they have adorable names like Sir Whiskers and Old Tom and Mittens the Kitten and Duchess Priscilla. And the humorous dialogue is just catty. This is a hidden object puzzle game with catitude. You'll need to search for clues like paw prints and overturned items to uncover the mysteries of Whiskerburg. There's a reasonable variety to the puzzles. Not too much variety, but a reasonable variety. In the first puzzle type, you have a list of things written on scrap paper piled around a series of scattered objects. Once you find the objects, a cat paw appears and removes a scrap of paper to reveal the next target. So it might say, like, watches, and it'll say six of them, and you find six watches, and it removes them as you click on them, and then it'll say, find an orange, and you find an orange, and underneath there are a bunch of cat-themed mahjong tiles, and after the hidden object game, you play a mahjong style game where you match three to get them off the board, and you have to, you know, like, strategically remove them so that they're coming out from underneath and accessible tiles. While you're hunting for objects, you'll also need to look for the Duchess's gems in matched pairs hunting style of game. So similar hidden object scene, but you're looking for pairs of things, and you just click on pairs, and underneath you'll find gems, and you can see the piece of jewelry after the level gets more and more filled in, the more you find. There are also jigsaw puzzles that can lead to clues. There's yarn ball Suica game. There's also a mouse catching game, which is hard. The first few levels and story act as a tutorial that guide you through the basic loop of gameplay. You get some fluff, and by that I mean cat story, and then you do some puzzles. Another thing you do is decorate your office. While you're hunting for clues, you also find coins, and those add up, and you can change the style and furniture and make it schnazzy in between cases, which is good, because, again, this is high society catdom, and and you can't just have a shabby carpeted room with nothing in it. You're a detective to all the high society aristocrats. Story-wise, like I said, you solve cases, you gain badges. They're like little detective levels for completing cases. I think there's 8 cases total to solve. I'm in case A6 right now. They're all adorable. This game is also easy, like chill. If you want to use hints, they're there with no penalty. You can even skip, say, the jigsaw puzzles. If you really aren't into them, you just have to wait for the skip button. And it doesn't harm your progress. But if you want the little bit of challenge, just ignore the hint buttons and the skip buttons and enjoy. There was one challenging achievement for playing the mouse catch game to completion. Oof, that took me a few tries. My cat got in front of the screen, made that even harder because he was staring at all the mice running across the screen. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my TV to my cat. Yeah. It didn't happen. It did not happen, but I did get the achievement. So that was good. I would also mention this is a PC port with a cursor-based game, even in the menus. So it just takes like a little mental adjustment to remember that you have to move that around with the left stick and actually press buttons on the screen, just like if you had a mouse. Yeah. It obviously works well for finding the objects on the screen, though. It's just weird to me in the main menus that you can't just like scroll with the left stick or the D-pad and hit A or something, but whatever. The intro is audio narrated. The classical music selection was darling and fitting the aristocrat vibe. There were all kinds of audible meows while reading the speech bubbles. The art style is like a mix of photorealistic objects and then drawings or pictures of cute cats that are doctored to have facial expressions. It's flippin' adorable. This is one of my new favorite hidden object puzzle games. Obviously because cats. Also because the story was delightful and full of tasteful catty puns. I think the progression of the game's story was well done. None of the puzzles outstayed their welcome. And the cycle of puzzle types was predictable, but it was also easy to manage and keep it from getting boring. And again, stories, detective cases, and the characters were fantastic for this style of game. So,
very good. Clocks in at $7. What do you think?
The price is perfect. If you like hidden object games, it's a buy it for me. Definitely.
I was wondering when she was going to drop the perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Keeping with the Ocean Media theme, up next is Eco Mahjong, developed by Jet Dog Studio, published by Ocean Media. Released June 3rd, Xbox One, Series X and S for $6.99. A classic Mahjong game with a thrilling story. The beloved Mahjong game just got a new look. Now you can enjoy the classic gameplay of the popular tile-matching strategy while exploring the beautiful town of Greenville and discovering its story. Jacob, what is Eco Mahjong?
So Eco Mahjong is the console release of what I'm guessing is a mobile Mahjong game, and it tries to switch everything up by including a story within it, because, of course, with all of these, we have to have a story. I mean, you can't just have a hidden object game. You gotta have a story. You can have Solitaire. Also, weirdly, have to have a story. So Mahjong is no different. There's this big company owner guy who's just like, I'm going to build this huge recycling plant here in this town. And it's going to, you know, it's going to do a lot of good for everybody. And then it's like 10 years later and you find out it was not, in fact, good for everybody.
No.
And so it is up to you and a small band of, you know, like-minded animals to play a bunch of Mahjong, which will somehow force you to be able to clean up the town. Okay, sure, we'll go with that. Anyway, so I know you're wondering about the Mahjong in this game. There are two modes for this, easy and hard. Easy ensures that you, like, all the tiles that are available that you can, you know, possibly match with another tile. Those are all highlighted. Meanwhile, in hard mode, they're not. And I believe that there's, I don't know if there's like a time limit or a point limit to it or something like that, but yeah, it's standard Mahjong. It tries to switch stuff up, with tiles that have question marks on them. And like, so it also then becomes like a memory game at the same time, which, admittedly, I was like, all right, that's an okay gimmick. However, the game itself, much like all those solitaire games that we've had to review on here, it just moves so slowly, ever so slowly, on console. And you would be wishing that you could just use a mouse or something else to move your cursor, because it's very slow. To the point where I was just like, it would actually be quicker to play Microsoft Mahjong on my phone or on a laptop than play this. Like, it's not bad, but between the art style, between the art style and like the music and like the little kind of gimmick tiles, like, honestly, like the memory game thing with the tiles is really the only thing I thought was like, okay, cool. With this, it's just, it's very average. Like, you collect stars, and of course, like, how many hints you use, or if you have to like shuffle the tiles, you know, that it could take stars away from your final score, which is also how you unlock and clean up the town and stuff like that. So you need to have you need to keep earning those stars. I had more hope for this, but it's just, there needs to be some work done to it. Like cursor sensitivity on it really needs to get ramped up for this game. Like, it's not bad, but
Cursor sensitivity would be good in all their games. It should just be an option.
Just about. But it's just like, I don't know. It's not the worst Mahjong game I've ever played, but it doesn't exactly justify itself to like immediately go out and buy.
No.
Like if this was on a sale for 50% or more, I'd be like, yeah, go for it. But at full price, I'm just a try it. Wait for a sale.
It's $6.99, $7. You're still in.
At $6-$7, yeah, I'm still like, nah.
All right. Well, if you're on the fence on either Cat-tastic Hidden Object or Eco Mahjong, Ocean Media was nice enough to get us an extra key, so we will be giving those away in future shows. Stay tuned and be in our chat, and you could win.
Speaking of Mahjong, want to know an interesting history thing?
Not really. What?
So Nishibutsu, who is the company that made, the Arcade Archives one, the one that was called Sky Robo. Yeah. So Sky Robo was actually their last major arcade release, like mainstream arcade release, because they just weren't doing that hot, and instead they focused all other arcade releases were strip Mahjong titles that were sold in like adult arcades, and the company actually got kicked out of, or not kicked out, but they left JAMA because the arcade industry was showing concerns about their risque material in all their strip Mahjong games.
Cool. You know, this is a long episode, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay.
You're a wiener. Final game to talk about on this episode is Kabuto Park, developed by Dutanzaku. Wow. Dutanzaku. I love it.
I'm pretty sure that's like a Gundam.
Published by Steven Studio, released May 28th, Xbox Play Anywhere and Switch for $5.99. Also available as part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Enjoy summer in Kabuto Park, catch the cutest bugs, train them, and win the Summer Beetle Battles Championship in this tiny bug collection game. Upgrade your equipment to find rarer, stronger, and shinier little friends. Kabuto Park is a cute and short bug collection game where you spend a month as Hannah, a little girl on a summer vacation. Catch the best bugs and level them up. Choose your team carefully and fight other kids to become a Summer Beetle Battles champion. Bree, did you beat down the other children?
I did. So this adorable game is made by the same team that brought you Minami Lane, which I still have not played and want to. It's available on Game Pass, so I'm totally going to check that out soon. And this game is full of bugs. Kabuto Park is like a preserve for beetles and bees and other bugs that you can catch and play them against others in a championship battle. You want to become the best bug catcher you can be and win the summer tournament. That's pretty much the game. But this is a relaxing, cute game without multiplayer, big adventures, or long plots. There's also no spiders if you are worried, Aki. It is only a few hours long and is designed to not eat up too much of your precious time while giving you something full of whimsy to explore. Midori is our guide to the park. She shows Hannah, that's us, the ropes, and a map, which has four places to explore: Sunny Farm, Crawler Swamp, Pine Forest, and Calm Lake. Each location hosts like different bugs of the 40-ish species there are to find. And from the map, you can also see what kind of bugs there are still to find, the ones you've discovered. And the map is our primary interface to the game. It allows you to see your terrarium, your collection, your battle screen, your shop, and your resources. In your location, you'll go catch bugs. A minigame bar will show you where you want to hit the green zone as the bar slides by. And then once you get it, you catch a bug with your net, and it'll show you the type and size of your bug. If you click on the details screen, you can then level your bug, rename it, favorite it. You can choose to keep or sell it. It'll also show you the stats of your bug, like where you caught it. And bugs have different abilities that can be used in battle, like kick or wind, which are both like knockback attacks. Different bug types have different types of activities that show up as cards that come up in battle. There is a shop you can buy better equipment to catch better and bigger bugs. There's a Bugapedia to help you know what to do. There's honey to slow down the bar to find rare bugs. And then there's candies that you can buy to level the bugs you have. You also earn candy in other ways by selling bugs and doing battles. To get to better locations, though, and find more bugs, you need to get better equipment. So you'll need to catch bugs, just tons of bugs. And like I said, you can sell your bugs for candies to upgrade. And then there's battles. You can do one each day, and you get yourself into the championship by the end of the summer, which is like literally like the calendar starts August 1st, and you have like 30-ish battles to go through. When you go to the battle screen, you can make a team out of your beefiest bugs, and it'll show you your opponent's team too. Combat is pretty much turn-based. You use the cards you have for your bugs when you gain energy, when there are cards and bugs that have higher energy ratings. It's a complex and simple system at the same time. Your bugs are on a platform that looks like a tambourine, because it is. And you push up against the other team and try to knock them off. It's kind of wholesome, actually. There's a hold phase or defense phase where you play most of your defensive cards, and an offensive push phase where you play cards like kick, and your little bugs go back and forth until someone gets knocked off the tambourine. Once you do your daily battle, the day progresses on your calendar. You can spend seemingly endless time catching bugs and honing your collection and teams up until the point where you decide to go do your daily battle. Back to the catching minigame. I mentioned you can use honey to slow down the bar. Each bug has a different style of bar you can catch them on. So like rare bugs clearly are going to have smaller catch areas. And then also rarer than rare bugs, they have called shiny bugs. Just hold on to that for a second. They are super cool versions of the bugs you already have. The achievement list is fun, encouraging you to try different combos with your bug teams. You can have two teams set up at a time and easily change them out. There are around 30 battles to do. Most of them are pretty easy if you read your cards and balance your teams. Some accessibility features include bigger cursor, colorblind settings, capture, game difficulty. I feel like the green section of the catch bar was pretty forgiving too, so like it's not a hard game. The art is cute and colorful. They look like they were hand-drawn if you had mastered like paint graphics or something. I absolutely laughed out loud when the first boss fight I had for the badge, she said she was shooketh when she lost, and it made me think of Aki. I actually finally lost a boss fight and found out that you basically just recalibrate your team and try again, making this a pretty chill and accessible game. And this is to note for all of you who've been thinking it this whole time, I was actually ignorant to this fact until someone pointed it out, Indri. It's got a resemblance to things Pokemon, and that's something to note, especially since I was informed that Kabuto is actually a Pokemon type. I was unaware of that until Indri pointed that out. But this was really fun. Little bug catching game.
Yeah, it looks adorable. I like the store page. What it offers: a short creature collector, simple game mechanics, a cozy mood, and the cutest bugs. What it does not offer: no exploration or moving around in the world, no big adventure with quests and a long plot, no multiplayer, no PvP or trading, and no spiders. That one is for you, arachnophobes. All right, well, it's $5.99, also available on Game Pass. What are your thoughts on Kabuto Park?
It's a great price. It does not outstay its welcome as a game. It is a buy it for me. And I'm going to try their other game, Minami Lane, next.
Very good. All right. And with that, we are done. We made it through. This was a long one. It always happens with the quote unquote E3 time.
Yeah.
We are finished. Big thanks to Horror Acolyte for coming on. Big thanks to Jacob for joining for the reviews. Aki and Bree, thanks for being here the whole time. Because you two have nothing better to do on a Sunday than hang out with me. and watch Xbox stuff. I'd love it. Music. I'm going to play something. I don't know what. It's long show, so I'm just probably going to play something short.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Anyone have any final words to end the show?
I do. I have a message for Injury.
Oh.
Happy hot dog day. I love you.
Happy hot dog day. What is that?
Do I have to explain it?
I mean, we're still recording,
unless like hot dog is a euphemism for penis, which maybe.
Well, I mean, you're not entirely off, but no, I mean, because hot dogs do tend to resemble that, but no, this is actually really wholesome and sweet. So go fuck yourself. It is the anniversary of the day I fell in love with him because he sent me a picture of him eating a hot dog and his cat photobombed him.
I think I'm ending the show at go fuck yourself.
That's rude.